Hey guys, before we start the show, we want to let you know that we are doing a live show in Los Angeles.
Saturday, August 26th at 2 p.m. at the Bootleg Theater near downtown Los Angeles.
You can find out more information and tickets
at bootlegtheater.org.
This is Biz. I'm a part-time working mom with a big kid and a little kid.
And I'm Teresa. I have a family business, two young kids, and a baby.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, let's put the self in selfishness. Plus, Biz has an unimportant update. Teresa is getting messages, and it's coming from within her bra. And we talk to Brett McKay of The Art of Manliness.
Woo!
Hi, Teresa. Good morning to you. How is your day?
This is a Biz original.
It is. It is a Biz original.
Wow.
Thanks.
I was like waiting for it to start to register as being like
it's
a
not,
toddler preschool song or
nope,
something, but no, it's just a Biz original.
Just inspired by years of watching Up with People in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. It was really nice.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you.
Did it help you? How are you?
Definitely helped me. I'm okay. I feel like I need to just remind the world that breastfeeding is a thing.
Yeah.
I guess.
People haven't gotten used to it. People in the world haven't gotten.
There's like a lot of components to this, I feel like. Like there's. Yeah. So part of it is just that. The big part, I think, is just.
Your boobs.
Well,
things. All right. I'm sorry.
Nice,
I'm
nice.
Sorry, guys.
The big parts.
The big parts.
Go ahead.
No, it's just like it's one of those things. Like we talk about how like we never know what's going on in somebody's life or in somebody's house or whatever. And it's one of those things that I just think is really easy to forget about after you're done with it.
Yeah,
I can say because I did that.
I have no memory of breastfeeding anymore.
Like
it was a lovely experience.
And just the fact that. Like now, like for example, today I don't have my pump with me and like it would have been really nice to have it today. Like
sure.
I'm not going to like die without it, but like it's kind of annoying that I didn't bring it because I just didn't think of it.
Right.
And like yesterday I had my pump and I never used it. Like I never needed it.
Right.
And I was like, why did I bring this?
Yeah.
But it's like it's just like an extra thing to be thinking about at all times and like trying to. Like, figure out, like, when do I need this? How do I need to be doing this? Like, and then there's,
you're
like...
right. There is this whole extra, where am I going to be?
Yeah.
Where am I going to be able to do this? How long am I going to be? Where will I store it?
Yeah.
How will I... It is, like, literally its own camping trip of, like,
it
supply
is.
Needs.
It is. Yeah. On a daily basis.
Yeah, just
on
to go out.
On top of all the other little things for all the different children
that
live in my house. So there's that. And then there's just like, you know, like the soreness and the fullness and the leaking and the little pads that you stick in your bra that are like super uncomfortable. But if you don't wear them, then there's always the possibility that you have like milk dripping through your shirt. It's just like a weird thing. And then there's like the breastfeeding in public thing, which like has gotten better and better, I feel like, but is still kind of a weird
thing.
Or
you just care less and less.
You do care less and less. And I think... But I think it for me, like, it depends where I am and who I'm with. And some people I don't know that well are super comfortable with it because, like, that's just something they're comfortable with or they're used to it or whatever.
Right.
And then other people are like, whoa, what's happening here? You know?
I really do wish people actually said, whoa, what's happening here? What's about to happen? That'd be amazing. That would just be... The most remarkable.
But, like, I also, I don't blame anybody either, just because it is, like, I feel like we're so, like, technologically advanced and, like, detached from our, like, physical selves in so many ways now that, like, breastfeeding, it's kind of like pregnancy in that it, like, it forces humans to, like, face our humanity. And do you know what I mean? Like, face the fact that we're just fucking animals.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're not fucking animals, you guys.
Right.
Whoa, guys.
Whoa. Not this
Take
show.
Take a step back.
Calm down.
like, that we're just mammals, you know what I mean? And that's, like, hard to deal with
sometimes.
We're just
food sacks and bags of bones walking around on this planet. Somehow miraculously like doing things, opening pickle jars and having kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's just like, that's just what I'm dealing with this morning, I guess.
Right. No, that makes total sense.
How are you?
I'm all right. I realize I'm just like parenting along in my little parenting canoe, paddle, paddle, versus no one crash into shore.
Yeah. It's topsy turvy in that canoe.
It is. Well, trust me, in my canoe, I am the one who has to do the steering in the back.
The coxswain?
I'm the coxswain.
Is that what the coxswain does?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. But I can do a canoe salute. Anyway, so I'm just parenting along in my parenting canoe, and everything's kind of like, all right, nothing dramatic. But I did realize, I've been thinking about this recently, early on in the show, I was deeply concerned about the fact who was going to be teaching Katie Bell kid stuff. You know, like X, Y, Z, D, P, D, Q,
like examine your
fart songs, and you know, I know a wiener man and things like that, right? So, like, who's gonna Batman smell her? Who's gonna like make the what will be the like super inappropriate jokes that parents should never hear,
right?
But like, will become a part of her lexicon of like, oh, that probably wasn't cool that we did that,
yeah,
right? So. I was really, I remember really being like, should it be me? Am I supposed to be telling her these things now?
Yeah, that was a major thing.
I just wanted everybody to know, I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
Okay.
She's in second grade. Again, I think I was worrying too early. I don't need to be the one, I don't need to be the
It's
like,
going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Despite you.
She may not have an older sister, but I don't have to be her older sister to introduce these things into the elementary school, like, you know, lexicon of garbage that they share.
Yeah.
So I just, that was it. It was just like, oh, I don't have to do that. She's got it. Children's books have this covered for her.
Are you
going
to like tell us, give us an example
I know because, you know, she is definitely incorporating the word butt and fart in all the right ways. There are slight parody songs I hear coming around. Now, I mean, this is not to say that Stefan has not versed both children in Weird Al Yankovic songs, but those are super irrelevant. On the playground today. I am like waiting patiently for the, when I was a kid, I remember the song that we used to sing was like, my president has a first name, it's J-I-M-M-Y, my president has a second name, it's C-A-R-T-E-R, whatever. Anyway, it's like about Jimmy Carter to the baloney theme song, right? And we go, Jimmy Carter has a way of messing up the USA.
Oh my God.
Right? Like, I mean, you know, it's great.
Oh my God.
So it's like one of those kids songs. So I'm like eagerly, guys, I'm eagerly awaiting the Trump song to come through. And I will say, I am tempted to put our collective comedy brains together to maybe come up with one.
Because it would probably be like a higher caliber.
Yeah, a little higher
Trump
caliber
song.
Really stick to be our silent way, like a silent mom way of protesting.
I like that.
Like, I don't know what that song's going to be yet, guys, but everybody keep your ears open for these. Because I do think these are like sort of important parts of like, you know, childhood is, anyway, whatever. Don't everybody who might be also really struggling with worrying if they should be teaching the kids all their gross fart.
I'm sure there's just a huge, huge portion
Miss
of
Lucy
our
had a steamboat.
Really stressing out about
the steamboat
this.
Had a bell. Miss Lucy went to
this definitely
heaven.
Isn't
the
just
steamboat
you.
Went to hello operator. Okay, there it happens naturally as puberty. Speaking of things that happen naturally, we are going to talk about a word today. Today's word on One Bad Mother is selfish.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Selfish. That is some word. Selfish or selfishness.
Yep.
I feel like we have been hearing that word used a lot lately in the calls that we're getting, especially in the rants. We've been hearing it when people are talking about wrestling with having a first child or more kids. We've heard it when people are talking about trying to find time to do things they like. I mean, I remember a call we had a long time ago about a woman who was doing, you know, acting, doing like community theater. And she felt like really selfish about going every night to do this thing that she loved, right? Like, and Teresa and I were just like, do you hear that? It was like, you just hear it enough. You kind of miss it the first few times. And then you keep hearing it and you start to go, whoa, whoa, we need to stop and talk about it. And because selfishness and being selfish feels like the evil twin of self-care.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
So I want to just kind of start with, have you, Teresa, ever wrestled with the feeling that you are being selfish? Or do you do anything that you, I mean, like, what a selfish, are you selfish?
I mean, honestly, when I hear the word like selfish, like I'm being selfish or you're selfish or like used as a descriptor, it really takes me back to like sixth grade or something.
Oh.
Like, I feel like that was something that we used to say
to each other when you weren't getting your way.
About a girl that we were mad at or something. Like, she's really selfish or that kid is selfish or something like
that. Well, right. You won't let me. You're right. It's like,
they're
won't
selfish.
Go get me.
Yeah.
I can remember.
Or like,
I was just going to say, I can remember like in sibling relationships, go get me a Coke.
Yeah.
Now, why are you being so selfish that you won't go get me that? Right.
Yeah.
You
know, Like, if the kid only wants to do what they want to do when you go to the play date, that kid is selfish.
Or
that kid won't share. They're selfish.
Right.
That is like, to me, and so whenever I hear an adult use it about themselves or another adult, it takes me a minute to catch up. Because honestly, like as an adult human, my feeling is that like, we are all selfish. We're fundamentally selfish.
Right.
That's survival. That's being a human.
Right.
You have to be selfish to preserve yourself. And I mean, even good deeds that we do for others are often selfish because they make us feel good.
Right.
And it's a way of demonstrating that you're a good person and that you are somebody would want to be friends with. And therefore, you're being selfish because you're doing this so that you can have friends.
Right. Well, there's the old therapist thing that a therapist had told me. It was you're either a caretaker or a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
You're either taking care of people because you want nothing back. You literally could do this act.
Yeah.
And you're doing it because that is helpful to somebody, or you're doing it because you want them to thank you. You need to feel like, you know, which I always thought was such an interesting way, like, oh, why am I helping this? Why am I doing these actions?
But I don't think that's necessarily bad either.
No, like, no, I'm not saying it, but like, I think there are two ways that you could be doing it. But the way you're described being selfish all sounds normal and natural. However, there is a real anchor tied to that word of negativity.
Yes.
So I get that we all need to be selfish to survive in the world, but there's within that is again this weight of, well, do you kick everybody out of the lifeboat so that you can survive because you are a surgeon and you are going to save all these lives? Like, there's like a little bit of a sort of morality, college class that surrounds the world. Like, well, what is selfish bad or is it good?
Yeah.
Right? Which is why I say it's the evil twin of self-care.
Right.
Because self-care is a really positive thing. It is making sure, whether it is taking care of yourself physically or mentally so that you can thrive.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if we had to come up with an extra word because we had fucked up selfish so badly that we could no longer say, this is a selfish choice we're making without it connotating bad.
Right.
Poor.
Right.
You know, like a poor decision, a bad decision.
Right.
Is there anything, but you're right. It is definitely a word that does bring back childhood or childish or adolescent behavior.
Yeah.
Right? Like using an adult word in a reactive way.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is really interesting. And I wonder how much that plays into how we use it as adults.
Right.
Especially when it comes to ourselves.
Right.
So are there things that you feel are selfish that you do? Or
I mean, it's so interesting because like I've noticed that in our calls as well, Biz, mm-hmm. that like we've been hearing people say like, oh, I'm not sure. Am I being selfish?
Right.
And like, for example, a recent ranter who was trying to decide if she should have a second kid was
right.
saying like she feels like if she doesn't want to have a second kid because that's going to like take away anything that's left for herself.
Right.
Is that being selfish? You know, is she being selfish? And I thought that really hit me because for me, I feel that having kids is the most selfish thing I've ever done.
Oh.
Like, I feel like that was like my decision to have kids in the first place was totally for me. Like, I don't
right.
have some like delusion that like, oh, you're welcome, world. I'm going to make these additional humans
right.
that this planet will need to support.
Right.
And they're just going to be so amazing that this is my gift to you, world. No,
right.
I did it because I had to, for me.
Right.
I had to. And to some extent, Jesse and I together really wanted that.
Right.
For ourselves, you guys.
Right.
So that's, I mean, it's just weird because, and this is, you know, I went through that questioning thing again when we talked about whether to have a third child.
Yeah.
Because.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
You know, we weren't sure. And like, there was this part of me that was like, am I being greedy? Like,
greedy.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to be greedy, but it feels like so much abundance. Like, could I have three?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think that, like, the reason I bring that up is just because, like, I think that kind of could illustrate how confusing this
yeah.
idea of selfishness is. Because then, you know, as I'm a mom and as I'm raising my kids, their existence is selfish to me, in
right.
my mind.
Okay.
But I don't really feel guilty about it. I just feel like I did that for myself. Like, I feel like it was something I had to do for me. And, like,
right.
I'm glad that I did that. But then, like, there's lots of sacrifices I had. Like, I don't,
right.
I don't deny that whole concept of, like, oh, parents have to make all these sacrifices
yeah.
for the kids. That's true, too, you know?
Right.
But I don't think that. Like, I just think it's totally, like, the story that we tell ourselves,
right.
that kind of thing. Like, almost any of this shit is about a story.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is that, I figured this out in law school, but, like, basically, if I am doing something that makes me miserable, this is kind of, like,
right.
your two ways of,
yeah.
of caring for others.
For like, right.
if you're caring for somebody or doing something that is, like, theoretically on paper good for the world, but you hate it.
Right.
No good can come of
no
that,
good can
in
come
my
up.
Opinion.
Right.
No good.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
So that's, so I don't know.
Well,
where do we leave this?
Well, I think what's interesting is I feel like I hear you describe why you think what you did is selfish.
Yeah.
While with me, it's, when I think of selfishness with parenting, I fall into the camp of the caller of mm-hmm. like, I shouldn't have had these kids, and I am
uh-huh.
selfish for thinking
uh-huh.
I should. You know, I could be. You know, who knows what the fuck I could be doing right now, right? I could have seen even one episode of Breaking Bad if I didn't have kids, right? Like, so I mean, like, and I always feel really bad when I have those moments of, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that,
uh-huh.
right? Maybe I shouldn't have had,
uh-huh.
or should have just had one,
yeah.
or maybe, you know,
yeah,
two, right? Like, so,
yeah.
or. Yeah.
And you feel like that's maybe selfish because, like, you're thinking of yourself.
Because I'm thinking of myself. I'm denying.
Yeah.
I'm denying. Like, the planet, of course, wants children.
Uh-huh.
Well, right? Like, I mean, because I think culturally, I wonder how much plays into how we define selfishness for
yeah,
ourselves.
I
the
think
story
so.
We tell.
Oh, totally.
If you grow up around kids are the best thing.
Yeah.
Then popping
yeah.
them out
yeah.
is good for the world.
Yeah.
If you are, you know, deeply influenced and, you know, even tuned in slightly to the overpopulation crisis
yeah.
on our planet, it's easy to be like, this is a selfish choice
yeah.
too, right? So, like, I think clearly
culture plays into the story. True. But I think your word story is the right one, the tale that we're telling ourselves. Because what I really kind of want to get back on track about this is we are misusing the word selfish, I think. I really think when we're calling these things selfish, even though it is about the act of doing something that makes you feel good and benefits us, you know, our survival, all that stuff, that's not how we're seeing it or saying it. We're saying it in the sense of the lifeboat has come and we're kicking everybody out of the lifeboat to preserve only ourselves.
Yes.
We're eating all the food. We're, you know what I mean? Like, we're not sharing. We're carrying the shotgun on the day of the apocalypse and we're not even going to ask questions.
Right?
Like, it is, we are defining it as its worst definition, which is the act of solely putting your needs before all others in the worst sense of it. Okay?
Yep.
That is a really heavy thing to tie on ourselves for wanting, for questioning decisions that we want to make in our life.
For our own lives.
For our own lives.
Yeah.
For,
that
for,
mostly affect us.
Right. Or, and I mean, how many times do we sit on the show and have guest after guest after guest come on and say, and like, good guests, like not like some guy off the street, but like doctors and therapists and, you know, people who spent their whole life studying the brain and family dynamics say, you cannot take care of others if you are not taking care of yourself.
Right.
You cannot take care of others if you are not taking care of yourself. Okay? So
we need to
we have self-care, taking care of yourself, putting our needs up. As I think just last week we were talking about, there's, you can't put yourself at the bottom of the to-do list because the to-do list is never going to end. It's not selfish to put yourself up at least in the top five of your to-do list, right?
Right.
Like, if not the number one.
Right.
Your kid's not getting into Harvard because you scheduled going to get a massage every day or because you took some time to go for a walk every day, right? Like,
well, especially because as parents,
right,
our well-being is really good for everyone. I mean, I believe that about humans in general. Like, I believe that when we are taking care of ourselves, we are better in the world for everyone.
Right.
But especially when we have small children in our care who are exhausting and need so much.
Right.
I mean, I really, like, I believe we should be taking care of ourselves just for ourselves, like, regardless of how it affects our kids. But it, if you're feeling like you're being selfish, just remind yourself it's also good for your kids. Like,
well, right. If you, the most ultimate selfish and selfless act is to take care of yourself.
Yes.
It's like the old working from home or studying for school at home and your kid having to be on the iPad or the computer longer than you want them to be so you can get this shit done, so you can finish your degree or get this work project done, and people being like, I feel like I'm neglecting my child. That is the wrong use of the word neglect.
Yeah.
This is the wrong use of the word selfish.
Yes.
And I feel like when that word comes out or we hear somebody say that word, we need to stop for a second and really ask ourselves, am I using that word right? You know what I mean? Like, I, it's sort of like parent guilt. Everybody is entitled to feel guilty about whatever they're doing or feel like they're fucking something up. And, you know, it's the old story of the woman who leaves her family because she just couldn't be a mom and she couldn't be, and she goes out and she has this life that she wanted to have, and she's the most selfish person ever. But maybe, maybe she wasn't. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know the circumstances of those stories. I'm just saying everybody's going to wrestle with it their own way.
Right.
And I just, as I wrestle with it, I need to remind myself, I am not kicking people out of the lifeboat today.
Yes.
That's not what I'm doing today.
Right.
And asking hard questions about my choices is not kicking somebody out of the lifeboat. Asking for more time is not kicking somebody out of the lifeboat. Getting my hair done is not kicking somebody out of the lifeboat. None of those things are kicking somebody out of the lifeboat, guys.
Right on.
All right?
And, like, knowing, also, I think knowing what we want is such a gift to ourselves and those around us. Because, like, I know I've had some of the hardest times where I kind of know what I want, but I don't think that it's the right thing to want.
Right. Sure.
And therefore, I'm just kind of like struggling along with that. And nobody can really help me with that.
Right.
And I'm not helping anybody with that.
Right.
Until, like, once I know what I want, even if I think, even if I perceive that that might not be what other people want,
right,
that's not necessarily the case. Like, I'm just maybe worried that that,
right,
you know, I'm just afraid of being like, okay, this is what I want. Now I'm going to go make that happen, you know?
All right. 90% of what we're probably worried about feeling selfish about.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
it might turn out nobody, that doesn't actually harm anyone else.
That's right.
For you to have what you want might not actually be harmful to anyone.
That's right. And it's okay also just to wrestle with that journey of trying to make the decision to make the change or pursue the thing you want to pursue or do the small thing that you want to do. You know, the deal is have the journey. Have the discussion. Have it in your head. And let there be two voices. The voice that tells you, I feel selfish doing this. And the voice that says, meh, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
And also, I forgive you.
Yeah.
I forgive you. Right? Like, I forgive you. And I for thinking that you're a bad human for wanting to do this. Right? Like, again, we get isolated in our decisions with parenting. We can also get really isolated in our decisions for ourselves. So everybody go out and put the self back in selfishness a little.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by ThredUp, the world's largest online thrift store.
Guys, I had a really good time using this website. I got myself some Anthropology, J. Crew, as well as Lily Pulitzer shorts for the summer. And I got them for next to nothing. It was like 80 to 90% off on each of the things I got. You can also search for anything. Lululemon, Banana Republic, Michael Kors, Kate Spade, you name it, it's out there for next to nothing.
Plus, right now, go to thredup.com/badmother to get an extra 40% off your first order. That's thredup.com, spelled thredup.com/badmother. That's an extra 40% off right now at thredup.com/badmother. Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, Teresa. Genius me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
Well, I had a, I think I had a genius moment a few months ago where I weaned my kids off using the sound machine.
Oh.
And... this is a genius moment, okay, you guys? I'm using a sound machine again for them.
Yes!
And I feel great about it.
You should.
It's actually helping a lot. There's a baby. There's a baby now in the mix.
Sure.
And there's a 3.5-year-old who still wakes up sometimes during the night.
Yeah.
And has trouble, like, settling down and going to bed. And you guys, the sound machine just really helps.
It does.
It really helps.
It does.
We have barking dogs.
Yeah.
It really helps. So, you know what? This is a genius moment, too. We're using the sound machine
again.
Bring
it back. Making a choice and then changing your mind. Genius.
Thank you.
Good job. Mine's more of just like, I've tried to be a good mom to Katie Bell. So, like, Katie Bell is really patient and great with Ellis. And she really is, like, in a way that I am slightly envious of. She's so good. And I've really just been trying to make a point of telling her what a good job she's doing and how much she inspires me and how much she can help calm me down when I am, you know, when Ellis is making me. I call it, you guys are going to make me quack like a duck. You guys are going to push me. I'm going to be in the corner quacking like a duck is what you guys do.
Really,
and so
like
it focuses. So when I start going crazy, I'm like, quack, right? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
But so
I
just tell her, you know, you really help me calm down when I see you are my example. And I've just been trying to tell her, and I feel like that's a good thing to do.
It's a really good thing to do. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Good job.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Biz and Teresa. I'm calling with a genius, I guess. So I drive a small car, a 2006 Cobalt, and I split daycare responsibilities with my wife. So I drop my daughter off in the morning, and she picks her up. But because it's a two-door and it's my old car from college, it's this sort of juggling act getting her in where I have to sort of turn her sideways and fall into the back seat and then spin her around and sort of drop her down in the car seat and then go through the regular routine of buckling her up. But this morning I just placed her in the back seat and said, get in. And so she did. And then things were way easier. And it's not likely that I'm ever going to go back to the old way. Anyway, have a great day and you're doing a great job.
Good
That's
job.
Awesome.
I know.
So cool.
You do it.
Yeah.
Hey, look,
Climb
you
in.
Can.
Yeah. Okay.
And it worked.
Yeah.
That's the best.
That's so good.
That's so good. I think that ties a little into the like age discussion we had a couple of like weeks ago where it's like, well, she's still too young to do this. And you're like, oh, maybe she's not.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many things that are like that where they're gradually getting older and better at things, but then there is one day when they can't and one day when they can.
Yeah.
Like, and you have to figure out when that one day is, you know?
There are a lot of failures, but yes. Good job, Dad.
Good job.
Good job. Failures.
Fail, 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 fail!
You suck.
Fail me, Teresa.
Oh, man. So yesterday, so we live in Southern California and it's always pretty much warm, like pretty much all the time. And it's getting to be that time of year where every day is warm, just regardless.
Yes.
And so yesterday, Grace went to school without a jacket because I was just thinking like regular SoCal day. It totally didn't.
Mm-mm.
It stayed cold and actually got colder throughout the day yesterday.
Aww.
She had no jacket and she has a cold.
Aww.
It was like a new cold, like that she'd gotten just the day before.
Aww.
Where I was like, should I send her to school? Yeah, it's probably fine.
2 weeks left to school.
No
go to
jacket.
School.
No jacket for you. It's fine. So I just felt like that was like the most like classic, like you didn't fulfill your duty as mom to be like, I'm giving you a jacket, even if you might not need it. Like, you always bring a jacket.
Right.
Nope, not me.
No, not you.
I'm not a good mom.
You are a bad mom.
Yeah.
What a horrible mom you are. Okay, this is more of a fail in the house. So I was doing a lot of laundry and I thought I was being, I usually do the laundry. We have this like washing machine that came with the house when we got the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all right. It's all right.
It seems new enough.
It seems new
Having
enough.
Having seen it on a surface
It does laundry.
Level, it looks like
it's
a
fine.
Newish
sure.
set. Anyway.
It's broken once before.
Okay.
And we paid money to have it fixed. So I am doing a lot of laundry, and I thought, I'm going to not do it all on speed wash today. I'm going to try and get all the smells out by washing it properly. So I'm doing all the loads a little longer, and that's when I noticed water starting to pool under the washing machine.
Mm.
And my good friend was there with me, and I said, huh, this has happened before. Last time I just opened the sort of like place you can declog if stuff's gotten clogged, like, if, you know, sort of debris, the drain, as it were, that's in the front, easy to access. I said, I'll just pause it. I'm going to open this up. So I do. I go, I'm going to need a little pan to put underneath it to catch a little water. I opened it up and a little water comes out and then fucking I Love Lucy style gallons of water come out.
No.
Gallons of water.
No.
And it's just, I mean, it fills up.
In your kitchen.
In my kitchen. It's because my washer machine's like in the kitchen. And it's just like filling and it's not stopping. And like, my friend is like, she and I both are like laughing. And I'm like, get more pots. And she's like, that will do nothing for you.
Yeah.
And Ellis is like, I will fix it. And he's like coming at it with a hammer and like throughout. What the fuck? It was everywhere.
Oh my God.
I had already mopped the floor because of dropping a whole dozen of eggs on the floor earlier that day.
Oh God.
So I had mopped it. It was all clean. Now it is flooded.
Yeah.
I've cleaned it all back
up. Dirty water or clean water?
I don't know.
Okay.
It came out of the washing machine. I mean, whatever that machine is, the washing machine. So I assume I had 10 minutes beforehand told a mom I would pick up her child. So now I've got the service people coming between 3 and 6.
Uh-huh.
And I say, well, are they going to be a little later? Because I got to pick my kids up at 3.
Yeah.
And they're like, we can't tell you. They always come late.
Right.
I call the mom and I say, can I just take your kid early? Because this thing has happened.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. So I race to the school. I get the kids out of school 30 minutes early.
Nice.
And guess who calls?
The repair
guys
people.
Are going to be there at 3
house.
O'clock. And I was like, are you fucking shitting me? It was quite an hour of my afternoon.
And you got to bring Ellis along for
all
of that.
I got to bring Ellis for the whole thing.
Great.
It was fucking exhausting.
Oh, my God.
It's the worst.
Hi, Biz and Teresa. This is a fail. And today's episode of Baby Brain is the fucking worst. I just got off on the wrong bus. That's right. After spending an hour and a half getting my 8-week-old ready to go on the bus to the mall to pick up a dress for a wedding I have this weekend, nothing fits, so I have to go. I daydreamed or lost track or who knows what the hell I did, but when I looked up, I realized I was in the wrong spot. And I had literally just left the spot that I was supposed to get off at. And it took me so long to realize this that the next stop was 15 minutes in the wrong direction. So now I'm slowly walking my 8-week-old around the bus station and waiting to go back to the opposite direction. Great time. Thanks, baby brain. You're amazing. Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye.
That's so annoying.
That is so annoying. I chucked that up to the some sleep stuff, too. You know what I mean? Baby brain and like... That is
super
brain is
like,
what we're calling a super brain.
The hardest part of all that is the stuff related to the baby.
Yeah.
So like you're probably focusing on that, and then you're like the bus. You just get on the bus,
right?
You know.
Well,
but then you're like, oh shit, there was a thing about the bus I was supposed to also remember,
like where to get off on the bus.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that really.
You're
sucks.
Really failing at just going out and trying to achieve even the smallest of things out in the world.
Yeah. But I bet your baby's pretty cute.
Oh, I bet everybody cuckooed all over your baby while you were on that bus and at the bus stop.
That's what you want.
That's what you want. Well, you suck.
Yeah.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Movement Watches. Movement Watches was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank.
These watches have classic design, quality construction, and styled minimalism. At a department store, you'd be looking at $400 to $500, but these watches start at just $95.
You can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movementwatches.com/mother. Go to Movement MVMTwatches.com/mother.
Teresa.
Yes.
Let's call a parent.
Great.
This week we are talking to Brett McKay, who back in 2008 founded The Art of Manliness, which has grown into the largest independent men's interest magazine on the internet and has led to the book The Illustrated Art of Manliness. Welcome, Brett.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Before we get into the website and the book, I'd like to ask you what we ask all our guests, which is who lives in your house?
I've got my wife, Kate, and then I got my 6-year-old son, Gus, and then my 3-year-old daughter, Scout.
Scout, what was your son's name again? We cut out. What was your son's name?
Gus. Augustus. We call him Gus.
Nice.
Augustus. And your daughter's how old?
She's 3.
Oh, my. Hey, do you have my kids? Except they're a little reversed. But I got the 7.
Yeah.
I got a 7-year-old daughter, a 3-year-old son, and it's a lot of noise in our house. How's that working out for you guys?
No. Yeah, it is a lot of noise, a lot of squealing, a lot of screaming, a lot of stop that. Yesterday morning, our 3-year-old came into our bedroom at 6:30 in the morning with a flashlight, asking for Cheerios.
Sure.
So
what?
That sounds, you know,
par,
exactly
par for
right.
The course.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you keep Cheerios in your bed.
Right.
That's right. You store them, right? If you kept them in the pantry, it would solve the problem.
For sure.
Well, let's talk about the art of manliness. And we know that families can be made up in many different ways, and being a man means different things to different people. So let's just kind of start with why it's important to have a skill set defined within the sphere of manliness. Like, how do you decide what would go into the art of manliness as a concept back in 2008 when you sort of started this?
Yeah. So, I mean, the reason I started the art of manliness, I was in law school, second year law student. I was taking a break from studying at Borders Bookstore. Rest in peace, Borders. And was looking at the men's magazines, and I just realized, like, man, every month when I look at these men's magazines, I'm always going to see the exact same thing. I'm going to see, like, how to get six-pack abs, I'm going to see sex tips, I'm going to see, like, clothing and, like, adventures and trips that, like, no average guy could afford, let alone a newly married, broke law student. And it just didn't resonate with me. Just seemed sort of shallow and superficial, et cetera, et cetera. So I decided, you know what? I could start a blog. That's free. I can just buy a domain name. So why don't I start the
blogging
men's magazine?
These days.
Right. Hey. People are blogging. I'll start the men's magazine that I would want to read. Right? It was basically an act of narcissism. Like, I'm gonna create content that I want to read. So I did, and it took off right away, because I think what I found out was a lot of other men felt the same way I did about these men's, you know, lifestyle content. It's just shallow, just didn't resonate with them. It was it was promoting a lifestyle that, you know, just they couldn't afford.
Sort of like the actual phrase, like the feeling of manliness was just this false image of, like, super masculinity.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. It just, yeah. You know, like, when I thought of, like, manliness, like, I think, like, a lot of the inspiration for the site comes from, like, my grandfather. He was kind of like, he's my hero. He last year at 101.
Wow.
Still is my hero. But I mean, this guy was, I mean, he was a family man, had 5 kids, served in World War II, dedicated his life to public service. He was a forest ranger. And he was the kind of guy that, I mean, he could go out into the wilderness with nothing but a pack horse and a rifle and a fishing rod and survive for 2 weeks, right? He was that kind of guy. He'd come back, but he's like intellectually curious about things. He loved talking about, you know, books and art and history, and he was just really curious. And what I loved most about my grandpa was just his, like, lack of self-importance. The man had an incredibly successful career, did a lot for conservation in the Southwest of the United States. And but he never talked about it, because he was more worried about, you know, what else can I do to be useful to others. And even in retirement, like, he continued with public service. He was, you know, he was a member of all those clubs, like Rotary Club. He did Meals on Wheels, was, you know, driving, you know, meals to, you know, lone, you know, widows who were by themselves, just so he could talk with them. So that right there, and that's when I thought of, like, what is a man? Like, that, my grandpa was it. And so that's kind of what we tried to capture on the Art of Manliness. So we have content about, you know, what it means to be a good man, how to be a good husband, how to be a good father. But then we also have just, like, fun stuff in there that it's just fun man skills, like how to, you know, shave with a straight razor, how to walk like a ninja, you know, how to disarm a knife man. I mean, it's like that Jason Bourne stuff that guys like to, like you'll never have to use it, right? You'll never probably have to, you know, disarm a guy with a gun, but, like, you like to know that you know how to do that if you had to.
My husband,
so we have that sort of stuff in there.
My husband, at this very moment, upon looking upon the, like, through the book with me, was like, this is you, Biz. Like, this is, like, we go into a restaurant, and I always sit, like, with my back to the corner, facing all exits.
Yeah.
I have to know where everybody is. I used to joke that, like, I was the Jack Reacher of playgrounds, you know? Like, I always knew where every child was, always moving, and where their parents were. Like, there is There's so much I enjoy about the book as a person who is also interested in disarming people, possibly with knives.
Right.
And so what I also really like, though, are just some general good life skills that, regardless of who you are important, like leadership skills, you know, making eye contact, how to walk into a room, how to, you know, shake somebody's hand, how to, you know, we have to interact with people in our lives. And every one of us has had an experience where you're like, well, that person is definitely, I'm not going to hire that person, or that person is the spaghetti hand, or the, you know, like, what's up with that person? Why are they so? And I just feel like even for the times when I would be the most uncomfortable or feel the most socially awkward going into a situation that petrified me, these skills, at least if I had them in my head, might come into play to help me through that situation, even if those aren't my best skills, right? Like, it's sort of the art. It's almost like it's the art of preparedness. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
A lot of this is about being prepared. I want to kind of ask you this question of, like, it really does cover everything from, like, surviving a bear attack to, you know, picking out a good suit to how to hold a baby, how to, you know, my favorite are, like, rolling up the cuffs, how to do different cuff rolls on your on your shirt. And they all have different names. So I'm wondering, have you personally done all of these things? Like, have you been your own example through this? Or is this more of a bucket list for you? Like, you haven't wrestled a bear yet, but maybe one day.
So, yes, like the bear thing, that's maybe one day. But most of the stuff in the book has been tested by me. Because, like, I have to test it, right? Because, like, I have to explain it. And if I don't know, like, I like doing the things myself. Because, especially as a beginner, you always figure out, like, the things you get stuck on. It's like, well, if I'm getting stuck on this, like, someone else is probably going to get stuck on it. So how can I explain it in a way? And if I was explaining it to myself, who's a complete newbie, how would I explain to myself? So that's what I do. So yeah, the stuff in there, most of the stuff I've tested myself. Some of it, know, like, how to, you know, jump from a bridge into water. So we go to experts on that to ask that. But yeah, I mean, I talked to, like, for example, on the, you know, how to disarm a knifeman. I have a buddy of mine who's sort of like a firearms tactical instructor guy, really, you know, big, gruff, but really nice guy. And he showed me how to do it. And I went through the motions with, like, these dummy knives. So yeah, it's definitely been tested by me.
I feel like this is so, this is such an interesting, like, this book colliding with parenting, feel like, is really interesting because it is true that, like, you know, I mean, there's that old joke of, like, the hospital just lets you take your baby home and you just feel like, what, they just gave me a baby and I don't know what to do. You know, that old, like, silly joke. But, like, there is something to that where all of a sudden, like, we're responsible for other humans. And, like, not only are we responsible for theoretically knowing how to do everything and, like, answer all their questions, we're also supposed to be able to, like, show them how to do stuff that we may not even know how to do.
That's, like, exactly what I was thinking about. Yeah. I was, in reading it, I was like, well, not only is this helpful possibly for people to learn how to do stuff, I'm going to be going back to this when my kids get older and be like, all right, this is how I really want my kids to be able to start a fire without matches.
Right.
I have never been able to do that successfully, but I have this guide. Yeah, it's almost like a more realistic guide to the world for us as parents to use. To
how to pretend to be a grown-up,
right?
Even if you don't feel you are.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. I don't think you even need to pretend to be, like, you know, this stuff. I think kids, I think a lot of parents, like, they freak out. It's like, oh, I don't want to disappoint my kid. But I think it's a good lesson to show your kid, like, hey, I'm an adult, I'm functioning, like, I have a mortgage, but there's still stuff I don't know how to do, and I'm going to learn how to do it. And so you can learn along with your kids. So it teaches, that is an example of your kid, like, you know, learning never stops. And even though mom or dad is 30 or 40 and they seem to have it together, they don't. And but that's okay, because you can still learn.
Well, let's actually talk about the section about the family for you, because I think this is, there's a lot of good stuff for all of us. But I do think that dads, we've talked about this on the show a lot, dads kind of get the shit end of the stick with the dumb old dad stereotype, right? Like, and and we, as their partners, if that's the setup, don't always help the most by just being like, oh, just let me do it. I'll just do it. What's wrong with you? Right? Like, it's not the most supportive environment. But for example, you do a thing on swaddling in there, and Stefan and I, we couldn't swaddle solo. That was a duo act for us, right? And so there were so many things that I knew right away it was important for him to know. I mean, we all kind of walk into parenthood with our baggage of, I don't have to know this, or I'm the only one who's supposed to know this. And I feel like your section, it not only covers some of these basic parenting skills like diapering and holding a baby, but then you get into some really good stuff of like, if you're out with your kids, your family, and a situation starts to go south, remove your family. Don't escalate the problem, right? Like, can you talk a little bit more about some of the, I would not call it the more traditional baby books would tell you what to do with a baby, but like other things that you find are helpful for dads to know how to do as the family grows?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think a big thing we put in there is about the mindset of being a new parent.
Yeah.
Because you have to completely shift gears and, it seems like it's really hard, like when you first bring a baby home. So you have to prepare yourself for that. It's like, okay, I'm not going to get as much sleep as I used to. I'm going to be really stressed out with this kid screaming, so I just have to remain really calm and cool. And I think that's, you have to carry that through the rest of parenthood, because like kids are just going to like keep you on your toes for the next 20 years and probably for the rest of your life, right? Even when you're 70, the kids are going to surprise you. So you just got to be, you learn how to be flexible, which is important to do. But yeah, we also talk about things like, there's like how to treat your family like a VIP, which is like when you're out and about, just being aware of your surroundings and watching out for your family and putting yourself in a position where you can take care of your family if something bad does happen. Now, this doesn't mean you need to like walk around paranoid and like be fearful that anytime you walk out, some guy is gonna come out with a gun and just shoot people down. Like that
Batman style,
happens.
Gonna like Batman style, like in the alley, take the pearls and That's not
right. But like it's good just to be aware. It's called situational awareness. You just kind of keep your head on a swivel, and like you said, when you go into a restaurant, make sure you can see the door, who's coming in, who's coming out. And when you walk your family out to the car, walk behind them, you check the scene, make sure everything's okay. That stuff is just, good stuff for any adult who has kids in their, in their charge to do. But then we also have stuff, not just about dad, but like, not everyone is a dad. We have stuff in there for uncles, right? I think the uncle is an often downplayed member of the family. Like he's like the guy who's, he's an adult, but he's not a parent. he's in charge of like teaching, kids like the stuff that kids are supposed to know, like how to do dangerous stuff, stupid tricks that, kids are supposed to know, dangerous things. So we have some stuff in there and like how to be a cool uncle and, cool uncle tricks you can do with your nieces and nephews.
Oh, yeah, like the airplanes and certain whistles and all that kind of stuff. Some of that stuff really is just like, oh, man, I remember my dad used to be able to do this thing, or my uncle used to be able to do this thing. How do I do that thing? Right? Like the whistle grass or fold the airplane. Or I can remember Katie Bell, my daughter, came home and she had one of those like paper fortune teller. You fold it up. I remember being like, how do I do this again? Like, she wants me to fold this for her. And I had to really, like, pull back the knowledge that I had forgotten of all those folds. I'm like, note folding, how to fold a note to pass it in class. I mean, like, the book has very similar
things. Essential knowledge.
Yeah, it is essential knowledge.
For a kid.
That's right. That's right. It's their Swiss Army knife of tricks, as it were. Well, Brett, thank you so much for joining us today. Guys, the book is so good. It's a great, like, Father's Day gift. It's a good one just to, like, also have in the house. Hey, I need to remind myself how to do some stuff. There's, like, a how to entertain your toddler without a cell phone. I mean, it's got everything in it. And it's really enjoyable, no matter what your role is in the family. And it's probably a good one for your kids to steal when they're a little older and go through and try and figure stuff out. on their own. So, Brett, thank you so much. Again, the book is The Illustrated Art of Manliness. We'll link everybody up to that as well as the website. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Dr. Sydney McElroy.
Every week, we release a medical history podcast called Sawbones.
We go over the history of the dumbest, grossest, weirdest stuff humans have been doing to each other since the dawn of mankind.
But it's a funny show.
But it's also so disgusting and stomach-turning, you won't believe it.
But it's also like, funny. It's funny.
It is the wildest, grossest, nastiest stuff you can imagine.
It's a real hoot. It's called Sawbones, and we release it every week on iTunes, wherever podcasts are sold, and right here on MaximumFun.org.
What's the deal with Brexit? Have you seen Happy Valley yet?
How do British people pronounce Edinburgh, Leicester, or Norwich?
Not like that.
Are you tired of getting your world news from reliable sources, often with no puns or sexual innuendo?
Why was there a butcher's hat haunting Coronation Street?
What's Coronation Street, and why is Dave Holmes obsessed with it?
International Waters pairs a team of comedians in LA against a team of comedians in London in a pop culture battle royale. Join us once a fortnight to hear the best comedians in the world trade jokes and stories and maybe even learn something at the same time. International Waters with me, Dave Holmes. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
That was fun.
Totally.
It is full of stuff, but the kind of shit that I like to know how to do.
It really sounded like you. Like all the like preparedness and situational awareness. And...
I will wrestle a bear one day. Yeah. It really, sometimes our guests really fall into my sweet spot.
Yeah. It's almost as if you hand select the guests who come on this show.
Weird. So I'm just so selfish to have brought a guest on to tick all my boxes.
This show is really all about you, isn't it, Biz?
Guys, it's such a fun book. So we totally recommend it. Speaking of things that we also recommend, as well as a selfish act, let's listen to a mom call and have a breakdown.
Hey, ladies. I guess this is a rant, or more of just a defeated rambling. I just want to sit down and have a beer or a glass of wine on my back deck with my best friend. That's all I want to do. And I can't because they moved away. And they were our people. Our husbands grew up together. Our kids were the same age, the same gap. And she just got it. She got me. She got all of it. It was so easy. They live 5 minutes down the road. They liked the things we liked. It just fit. And we had so much fun. And when it was hard, we had each other. And when it was great, we had someone to share it with. And they're on the other side of the country. And I really just need a little bit of self-care. And I need some time to talk to her, not on the phone or with kids in the background. And we just can't. And I never realized how important they were in our lives until they were gone. And I'm a 33-year-old mom with two kids and a full-time job, and it's hard to make new friends. And I have lots of other friends, but it just doesn't fit as easily. And there's nothing I can do. And I feel like I'm like six. But I really, really miss them. It just sucks. Anyway, thanks, ladies. You're all doing a great job.
It does suck.
That really sucks.
It really sucks. You are 100% correct. Yeah. That fucking sucks.
I'm super jealous of your what you had before.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds really... I would be really sad if I lost that too.
Yeah, it is... She said this thing. It's very easy. It's very easy to fall into the trap of being like, why can't you just call her? But like,
it's not the same.
It's not the same. And it is really hard to find time in a day where you don't have kids interrupting you, or you can take the time to have a meaningful phone call with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I have not found that time 7 years in to make a call, to call somebody.
Yeah.
And she's on the opposite side of the country now. So there's a whole time. So when it's right for you, it ain't going to be right for her.
Right, true.
And that's really hard. That's a real place to be in.
Ugh.
To feel like there's not time to talk. And sometimes the joy of just hanging out together was not talking. So that, like, gets weird when you're, like, on the phone or Skyping, where when you are able to hang out, you don't always have to fill every moment.
Mm-hmm.
It can be hard to find your rhythm not face-to-face,
yeah,
right? So, like,
totally.
that's, like, a real thing. And because I want to say you will eventually find a way to connect
mm-hmm.
back with her. But that doesn't mean, this doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Right? It's a loss. That feels awful.
It also made me think about, like, how, like, you were talking about this friend and, like, how her family kind of, like, mirrored your own. And, like, how it felt like she and her partner were going through, like, similar things to what you and your partner are going through. And, like, it just made me think about how important that is. Like, we say all the time, like, you're not alone, you're not alone, you're not alone, and how important it is, like, not to feel alone
right.
in this process. But, like, I think what that means is really, like, that feeling of having that friend who kind of can show you what you
right.
look like
yeah.
and, like, can share that experience with you. It's very, it's a very, like, specific kind of comfort and validation
mm-hmm.
that is, like, I'm not crazy, right? You know? It's that
right.
thing. It's, like, I'm not alone and I'm not crazy and, like, I'm part of something bigger than my own private experience.
Right.
And, when, you know, having that friend right there 5 minutes away, it was such, it sounds like it was just such an incredible comfort and a joy to have that gift just there
yeah.
for you day after day. And I, absolutely, just echoing Biz, that is just a huge loss. And I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm really sorry,
really
too.
Sucks.
You are doing a great job.
Yeah, you are.
You really are doing a great job. That's really difficult.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Teresa, what
yes.
did we learn today? We learned that sometimes we just need to yell at ourselves and each other.
Yeah.
Pull it together. You're not being selfish.
Yeah. You're fine.
You're fine.
These are reasonable desires.
Yeah, or concerns.
Yeah.
They're reasonable concerns,
yeah.
too. It's all really reasonable.
Yeah.
You're not crazy.
You're not hurting anyone.
You're not selfish.
In the grand scheme of things.
That's right. You really aren't. Right? Like, not in the grand scheme of the things we're talking about.
Right.
Or that we hear people using the word selfish applied to.
Yeah.
Not selfish, guys. It is only selfish in the self-care way. All right?
Right? So in the good way.
In the good way. In the being better.
Yeah.
And allowing yourself to be better for the people around you and for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to go around like a bitter pill. Mama was a bitter pill, right? No one wants that.
No.
So that's the big lesson.
Yeah.
That's the big takeaway today.
Mm-hmm.
Stop feeling like shit for being a parent.
Yep.
Really.
And I'm going to go listen to this episode
every
like
day.
Over and over again, maybe every morning
right.
as I shower or
that's
something.
Right.
Like,
maybe I should like set my phone to be like, good morning, stop feeling like shit today.
Yeah. You're fine today.
You're fine. You're okay. You're not selfish. Close the bathroom door.
You're feeling...
No one's going to therapy for being yeah. kept out of the bathroom.
Yes.
So that was important.
Mm-hmm.
We also learned from our guest, Brett, that there are a variety of life skills out there that are good to know.
Yeah.
And fun to know. And will prove to be helpful in a variety of situations, whether it be wrestling a bear or folding a kick-ass paper airplane or diapering your baby. Also important between those two other things. Guys, we're getting into summer. It's... No, your kids are not in school right now. There's a lot to juggle. You're all doing a really, really good job. Okay?
Yeah, you are.
Teresa?
Yes.
You are doing a very good job.
Thanks, Biz. So are you.
Thank you. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlis, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
Well, daddy, baby, fussin' by, got low down mama blues. Oh, said daddy, baby, fussin' by, got low down mama blues.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.